Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bankroll Burners, the podcast for poker players who can't stop getting it in bad. I'm Mike.
And I'm Josh.
And we are back after our month-long hiatus, and let me assure you, we are unimproved at the game of poker. We are here to bring you, as always, some hands we've played recently, to run through those hands to each other. First, live reactions. We haven't shared those hands with each other before, and we're going to figure out if we could have played them better.
And spoiler alert, we could have.
We could.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you make a great point. We have definitely not gotten better. I've been playing a good amount of 2-5 since your absence, and it's just been like, it's gone okay. I've had some great sessions, some terrible sessions. I feel like I've had some run bad, but also some play bad. I mean, I've had two sessions in the last week and a half where I've gotten stacked by a maniac holding any two cards, which is never a fun experience, but it is for the table. It's great for the table.
Yeah, it's fun for the game.
It's a good time. It's always fun to get the action. So.
And I, on the other hand, have continued to play lower stakes than I was before because I'm just a scrub who tends to burn his bankroll. I wonder if we could name something after that.
I don't think so. No one would watch it.
Probably not. But yeah, so I've been playing mostly 2-2. So yeah, I got some interesting hands to share. But why don't you kick us off with the 2-5?
Absolutely. So I'm playing in a 2-5 game here at Encore Boston Harbor, which has been pretty much the only place I've played recently. Haven't really had a chance to get out of the city on the weekends by myself to get to like any of the New Hampshire card rooms or anything like that. The 2-5 game has been pretty okay. There have been a couple tables I've played at that have just been absolute like drags and horrible, like, you know, multiple chops in orbit horrible.
Okay, I was wondering if it was horrible because of like just like really passive short stack people or because of shit regs. So it sounds like the former.
Yeah, more shit regs, but some who just like are just also happen to be nits. Like, I think I mentioned to you, but for our listeners, like, I have never had this experience before where I had a guy lambast me for playing too many hands unprompted when I lost like a large flip on the flop. You know, I had like a gut shot straight flush draw and lost to a flopped straight, and I was like, what is wrong with you? Like, why would you say that? Like,
he an older gentleman?
Not even. Like, he was probably younger than our parents, I would say.
Yeah, well, shots fired at our parents, I guess. But
look, would our parents be OMCs? Probably.
Well, I have to say, I was once, I mean, I think on a couple of occasions, but I just remember one quite distinctly where I was playing with an older guy, and I kept, you know, playing my normal game with raises and, you know, reasonable sized bets. And I eventually stacked him, and he stood up and he pointed at me and he said, "I am never playing with you again."
That's awesome. Yeah, it's weird. Some of my favorite players actually wind up being older action players. I just think they wind up having a ton of fun, and they're just there to play and like often have money to burn. And it's one of the maniacs I was stacked with, like, called my preflop 3-bet with 10 deuce and flopped 2-pair to stack me with kings. Like, and he was, you know, he was definitely on the older side, but no one would accuse him of being an OMC.
Well, that's what we like to see. So, okay, so you're
playing. Oh, so anyway, all that to say, this particular game is not great. It's very passive. There's a lot of regs, but I think that people kind of overstate the badness of a game like this because you can absolutely make a lot of money bluffing, like a ton. People just are not bluffing. You just kind of resort to live ABC. I'm overfolding. I'm over bluffing, and that's just that's just what you got to do if you want to beat this game. People say, this game sucks. It's impossible to make money, but that's because they don't want to bluff.
Yeah. Well, we are experts at making money, so.
Yeah. So we're 500 effective in this hand. I don't remember why. I must have just lost a pot or something. And we're playing the full nine-handed. And this hand is going to fold around to me in the hijack with pocket kings.
Nice.
Which we're going to open.
What's the suits?
I guess I've got the king of clubs and the king of hearts.
Nice.
And I open to 20. Sometimes I open to 15. Sometimes I open to 20. It depends on the game. I like to start with 15. And then if it gets like call, if I get like six calls, then I'll bump it up to 20.
Yeah, that's a good approach. In 2-5, I agree. It's pretty table dependent.
Yeah. I've opened to like 35 before and like at certain tables and gotten called. So it definitely depends. Anyway, with only four players behind, 75% of them come along.
Okay, who
do we cut off in both blinds call.
Okay, so we lose the button. Whatever. So we're still out of position to somebody, but that's okay because we got pocket kings.
So we do have pocket kings. There's going to be about 80 in the pot at this point. There's 480 behind. I've got king of clubs, king of hearts, and the flop is going to come out pretty interesting for our hand. It's going to come out ace, queen, four, but all clubs.
We have the king of clubs.
We have the king of clubs, but of course there's an overcard there, and you know, with so many players in the hand, it's fairly likely one of them has an ace.
Yeah,
and it checks to me.
Yeah, check. I'm sure it does. And so it's ace, queen, four, all clubs. I mean, this is one of those spots where it's very multi-way. So already you're not going to be betting a large volume of hands, and then you've also got the fact that it's a monotone board, which is going to drive down the volume of hands you bet even further. I don't think this is a never bet board. So there must be some bets. So you have to think about, like, what's your bluffs and what's your value. And this strikes me as probably neither. I would probably check this, but I'm curious to hear what you think.
Yeah, I did check. I thought, you know, I kind of just have an awkward middling hand, you know, pair and a flush draw. We love to talk about pairs and flush draws. You know, important not to overplay them, because at the end of the day, if your flush draw bricks and you have like a really crappy pair, you're going to be kind of annoyed at yourself for you know, bloating the pot to hundreds of big blinds. So I decided to check, realize my equity. Obviously, there are lots of great, I mean, not lots. There are some cards that can come that can really give me a lot of equity. Obviously, any club, either of the two remaining kings would just basically give me the nuts always. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, if another club comes, it will be probably somewhat difficult for you to get paid, which is sort of interesting.
Yeah, it might have to be like a one street game, you know. If another club comes, I might even check the turn and bet the river or something, because that just seems like the line that's most likely to get me paid off.
Yeah, I mean, there is an interesting approach here, which is you, because there is also an overcard right now, you could, and you're so multi-way, you could decide to turn your hand into a bluff already.
Right.
And then you could start betting. You could say, would you rather have, it's like, would you rather have king, queen with the king of clubs or pocket kings with the king of clubs? Or would you play neither as a bluff? It's like, okay, then what bluffs do you have that contain the king of clubs here? Like,
I probably have king jack and king 10 off from the opening from the hijack into a bunch of passive players. So okay. I do have some better bluffs. And I also do think king queen is better just because it has more outs to improve. You know, because you can hit a king, you have more kings, or you can hit a queen that are often good.
Yeah, that's true. I do think so. You know, king jack off with the king of clubs, king 10 off with the king of clubs, that's eight hands. I mean, how much value do you have here? You have pocket aces and pocket queens, I assume you're betting.
Yep, and probably ace queen.
Sure. So there's, you know, what is how
it's that's, not, it's 15 combos total.
So 15 combos.
And then like king jack, king 10, king 9 of clubs. Maybe more.
You don't have, that's not enough bluffs. You definitely need more, I think. Well, I mean, you guys aren't that deep, but you're probably still looking at three streets to get stacks in. So I think you need more bluffs. You might have to start turning some of these.
I know, but it is super multi-way. Is the other thing you have to consider is that heads up, we definitely need more bluffs. But like
that's true.
It is so multi-way that first of all, we're gonna take a much smaller, probably a pretty small sizing. Mm-hmm. You know, like a third pot. So with that in mind, we really don't need that many bluffs.
Yep, that's actually a good point that I wasn't considering. So, okay, this seems fine then. All right, yep.
So I check and the cutoff checks behind.
All right, well, that's... I mean, you still don't really... I mean, that's great. You probably have the cutoff beat, but...
Yeah, well, maybe. You know, people... This is definitely the kind of table where people might check back, like, ace, X with no club.
Okay.
Well, anyway, the turn comes a complete brick. It's the six of diamonds. And it checks to me again.
Well, I guess if you still might not have the best hand then, given your that like some of these people may be checking aces.
Yeah.
So
is there any merit, do you think, to starting sort of a two street bluff here?
Well, I mean, but now it's more likely you have the best hand than it was in the flop, right?
Yes, but I mean, obviously, I mean, I don't think I'm. Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it is more likely.
But on the other, like, how many hands do you have that check flop and then want to start bluffing turn? I don't know. Like, that are definitely, that have no showdown value at all.
Right, because I do think that this is kind of a good candidate for this, because like I said, I do think people can just kind of have a bunch of random weak aces here that they probably will fold most of the time to two barrels. Mm-hmm. You know, especially because they could kind of perceive me as playing like ace-king no club, and I might play ace-king no club in this way at least some of the time. And so, you know, and then I do think, I definitely would start going for value with a hand like ace-king, ace-jack, no club, at this stage.
Sure. And it's actually worth noting that this might be one of those weird like combo bets that the solver likes to do where you actually can get called by worse and fold out better sometimes.
Yeah, because
it's pretty unusual, but it is a thing.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we get called by like queen jack with the jack of clubs. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Yeah, absolutely. Maybe like jack 10 that's just got a gutter and a club or something and doesn't want to fold. So I do decide to bet here. I bet 50, which is just a titch over half pot.
And you're thinking that you are going to bet brick rivers as a bluff. That's your plan at this point.
Yes, and I think I plan on betting quite large around pot, or possibly more.
Okay, I'm fine with this.
So I bet 50, and only the big blind calls. And I've played with the big blind before. I would say she is very, like, passive. Not necessarily tight. In fact, she's done a lot of limp calling, which is kind of unusual for this 2-5 game, I would say. But yeah, that's my only read on her. So at this point, there's going to be 180 in the pot. We've got, you know, 2.5 pot behind, 430-ish. And the river rolls off the 5 of spades, which I think is pretty much a brick.
Yeah, so the runout is now ace of clubs, queen of clubs, 4 of clubs, 6 of diamonds, 5 of spades.
Yep, and Hero's holding 2 kings with the king of clubs.
And I guess like 7-8 of with the club. Yeah, it shouldn't be that thing. So okay, so we don't even worry about any straights.
Yeah, maybe 2 pairs, like because a lot of the wheel aces are 2 paired up. Although I would think ace 4 would have bet the turn. So it's really, and ace 6 probably would have bet the turn, so probably just worried about ace 5 as a 2 pair candidate that's not going to fold.
And
she does check to me.
Well, I mean, let's think about this in terms of like your ranges. Like you here, when you bet turn, your range is probably fairly balanced when you bet the turn. Like you probably have some air balls, some thick value, and a lot of middling strength hands. Her range when she checks the flop and then check calls the turn is probably quite mid-heavy.
Right.
Well, she probably can't have very many strong hands at all. Versus you can have actually the nuts here a lot. You can also have... I mean, you probably have 2 sizes on this river, ultimately, is what I'm sort of getting at. You probably have a like value size and then a blast size. Right,
and the value size like, would be like a hand like ace king, mm-hmm. and maybe we'd take like some of our random bluffs and put it in that sizing. But I feel like having the king of clubs is probably makes us want to go the large sizing.
Yeah, I mean the bluffs that you want to take for smaller sizing, I don't know, like you want to probably block. Maybe the 2 pairs or something, like maybe you like pair plus like some kind of paired up hand, like your queen X or something like that.
Yeah, maybe a hand like jack 10 or something that blocks some of the ace X and was mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, so okay. That blocks some of the stronger ace X, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah.
Okay, I mean, so you probably want to take a large sizing here, probably an overbet sizing. Are we thinking like 130% or 150%, or maybe is this an all-in spot? Is this where you can? I mean, the pot is, what is it?
It's like 2.5x pot.
Yeah, I mean, probably is correct then. If it's only 2.5x and you have an she basically can't have the nuts ever.
Well, she definitely can't have the nuts. I have the king club.
Right. I mean, even if you didn't.
Yes, it would be unlikely given that she really has
almost no flushes here, I guess, as played. You could probably jam. You can probably jam here.
Well, I don't. I bet 150.
Oh, weak.
I mean, you know, it's like, that's almost pot.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's probably, if you're taking a one size on this river, that's probably your size.
And that's what I was kind of thinking is, you know, I wasn't really thinking about going two sizes. I think it's reasonable to do that. You know, it's an interesting way to play the nut flush because, you know, I don't always like to slow play the nut flush, but maybe that kind of gives more merit to it, is being able to kind of barrel turn and then just jam river and like put all sorts of one pair hands into just tough spots and balance it with hands like this. So I kind of do like that play. I probably like doing it more with like king queen with the king of clubs, but I guess we can have more bluffs.
You probably need more than
that. Yeah, because I do think villain could probably have ace queen once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's so fair. Having kind of blocking that is probably nice.
That's fair. I mean, there's you know, three combos of that, and you know, three combos of king with a club. So you don't need to. That's like six jams here might be too many. You probably don't have enough. Well, you are using a huge size. It's probably close. You could probably use both and it wouldn't be too bad, but yeah.
Well, I bet 150 because I still want to go big because I'm repping a big hand. Like, I want to go close to pot. I wouldn't bet like half pot here. I think that would just be a mistake.
Agreed.
So yeah, I think it's an interesting point that we could kind of use overbet. Still something I'm trying to incorporate for sure. It's tough to pull the trigger on them sometimes.
For sure.
What?
I said, for sure, it's tough.
You have to say, I thought you were like, nah, you don't have. You don't
nah,
have
it's easy.
That. That's
easy.
Yeah. Anyway, I bet 150, and I get called pretty quickly by a hand I did not expect to see, which is ace king.
I'm sorry, ace king? Like the ace king?
Like ace of spades, king of diamonds.
Incredible.
So, you know, I don't think she was ever going to fold that hand, most likely.
If you jam, she might think about it. But yeah, that's interesting. I mean, did you have like a bluffy image or something?
I think she knows that I'm definitely more bluffy. Definitely more bluffy than her.
That's surprising. We did not talk about that at all as like a possible. We were thinking like, you know, some aces.
Well, I mean, it's unlikely, but obviously people at small stakes, some of them just... I had a guy explain to basically the whole table why he likes to play ace king passively. Like, I think I might have mentioned in a previous blog. So podcast, whatever we call this.
Yeah, this is a podcast, sir.
Yeah.
We're not poker bloggers. We're not that entertaining.
Yeah, that's a good point. Okay, all right, well, that's that. So, you know, we take a small sizing, we get picked off, and let's move
along.
Yeah,
I'm trying to learn more about like implementing two river sizings in game. It's very hard, but I think it's important ultimately to have some players do try to have multiple sizings on every street, and I'm not one of those players. And I mostly, right now when I play, just have one size on every street, but I'm trying to incorporate multiple river sizings.
Right.
So. Okay.
Yeah, I guess I'm not, because a lot of the, I haven't been gotten there too much, just because a lot of the time, as you mentioned on, I think, our last episode, I do, when I'm sort of barreling, I do try and set up, if possible, like, especially if I'm doing a triple barrel, to set up an all-in on the river. You know, even if I don't go for it, I think that's something I've been trying to pay more attention to, is how much to bet on the turn to just set up a jam on the river. So that kind of precludes using two turn sizings or two river sizings, because if, you know.
Absolutely. Like, it's not a spot you find yourself in at these stakes very often where you even can implement a multiple river sizing strategy because you're so shallow most of the time, you know, versus like my local 5-10 game, the buy-in's 3K, you know, so people are sitting deep to start. So it's different, but definitely something to consider when you have the opportunity. Well, if you don't mind, I'll kick off another hand here.
Please do.
So this is a pretty interesting one, and I'll be the first to say my preflop decision making may be slightly suspect, but I'll let you be the judge of that.
That's okay. We all know that when we were talking about my suited combos last hand, I'm probably opening any suited king from the hijack.
Right. That's right. So. So this is rather unfortunate in that the main, this is a 2-2 game, and it's rather unfortunate that the main villain in this hand is only $140 effective.
Okay.
Which is rather shallow. But there's another villain in this hand to start with who is 350 effective. So there's two stacks we got to keep track of here. And this is 2-2-4. So the straddle is on. It has been on a lot, but not always.
Okay.
And there is a, and I'm in the big blind, so the middle blind. And the there's a plus one limp, there's an MP limp, there's a button limp.
Welcome back.
Yep. And then the small blind, who is a knit reg, makes it 32.
And what's his, and what's his stack?
350.
His stack is a 350. Okay.
Yeah. And I'm in the big blind, like I said, with pocket deuces, heart and spade.
Okay.
And I elect to call.
Yep.
How do you feel about this?
I think that's fine. I mean, I do think it's okay. We're gonna wind up getting great implied odds because like a million people are gonna call behind us. Obviously, we run into some reverse implied odds when there's so many people in the hand of getting set over set. But I don't think we can worry about that too much. I think it's a fine stack depth considering sort of the small blind still has plenty behind as well to make.
Yeah, I mean, he has. You know, we have to call 30. He's got, you know, 320 behind now. Oh. So it's like 10x the bet. And then, like, there's probably another amount. Like, add the pot, it makes it 11x or.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and then all these people behind you. I'd probably do the same thing. You probably. But the other thing is, we are in position to this player, mm-hmm. which I think is important. I think, like, if the cutoff opened, maybe I'd fold. And I have actually done that. I mean, I have, you can be proud of me. I have folded pocket pairs preflop to one raise.
Wow. That's nuts.
I know. But I think being in position to the raiser is also pretty good here. So based on I would probably call.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And that doesn't end up being relevant later here. I mean, they say you want to get like somewhere like close to 15 to 1 to be able to make these sorts of calls.
Well, so those people are lame.
Well, so we're not quite there, but anyway, I think it can't be that.
I wouldn't want to play with those people, you know.
Yeah, for sure. Anyway, I do call.
Yeah.
And the straddle, who is a younger Asian gentleman, calls, and everyone else folds.
Wow.
Kind of weird and unexpected outcome.
So there's like $100 in the pot, basically.
Yeah, that's right.
And the straddle would be the one who now only has about $110 behind.
I believe that is correct.
And then the villain still has 320 behind. Mm-hmm. Or the small blind, the original open.
Small blind, yeah.
Okay.
The flop is where things get interesting. It's ace of spades, five of diamonds, five of hearts. Okay. So ace 5-5 rainbow, and the small blind checks.
Okay.
And at this point, I'm pretty sure he has some kind of like medium strength pair, like nines through queens.
Sure. He could even have a nothing burger if he's relatively tight. He could have like king queen suited.
Yep.
That's a hand like that. Yep.
And I'm sitting here, and I was going to check, but then I thought, well, actually, what bluffs do I have? What natural bluffs do I have here? And I couldn't think of any.
Okay.
So I thought to myself, well, I have to have some unnatural bluffs, and perhaps pocket deuces is a reasonable candidate. What are your thoughts on this?
I think that's okay. I mean, I think deuces might even be better than like suited connectors because like, you know, like a hand like 7-6 of diamonds would be a nice hand to have as like a natural bluff, but I don't know.
I will call that pre-flop.
Sure.
I probably will 3-bet him, I think.
Okay. That's interesting. I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting because you might not have enough behind. I mean, you probably should I've been trying to randomize my suited connector 3-betting to avoid, because otherwise I think 3-bets can just lean way too bluffy.
I think that I should not call 7-6 suited with a million players behind me.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fair.
I think I could also fold it, but I think calling it would probably be...
But I also think at this stack depth, it is okay to just have no bets here. Like, we, especially like as ace-5-5 rainbow, you probably could just check and, like, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, but like, what are the hands I really want to bet?
Right, like, do you even, like, if you have a hand, like, I mean, I guess you if you're not calling suited connectors, you probably don't have any fives in your range.
Yeah, I may have ace-5 suited exactly,
but you're probably 3-betting that. I mean, that's, like, the 3-bet candidate.
I don't always, though.
Yeah.
So I would, but there's literally one combo.
Right, so with that said, maybe we just don't bet here. If we never have a 5, then, like, what are we representing?
I mean, we could have, like, you know, ace-jack or ace-10 suited, I think, are hands I would probably call some of... Actually, there's a decent amount of suited aces I would call in this particular configuration.
Right.
So I would be betting to represent an ace.
Yeah, and I don't think we necessarily need to bet the flop. Like, I don't think our hand really needs protection.
If we have an ace.
If we have a hand like ace-10, and we, you know, we can definitely get all the money in, if we so desire, in two streets.
Which we also don't really want to do, probably.
Right, so why not? So why not just check, kind of evaluate, because my guess is that the straddle, who has straddled at you know, with a stack of like 140, is going to have a lot of fives.
Hmm, that's interesting as well.
Right, because like he is probably calling like a lot, like any suited connect, like most suited connectors, you know, maybe ace-5 offsuit, like, you know, all kinds of jazz. Given that, if you kind of can evaluate that you yourself don't have many fives, straddle can definitely have a lot of fives. Why not just check our whole range here? And then, you know, given that he's so short, still definitely going to call off with a hand like ace-jack or ace-10. But maybe we just check it and see what he does.
That's interesting. I guess my thought in game was, like, I would like to get the small blind player out of the hand with his hand, with, like, dominating pairs, which was another reason I wanted to bet.
Mm-hmm.
But I do see your point that, like, I probably mostly just want to, even with my value, probably mostly just want to check this board. So,
and especially if you think he's going to overfold the flop, right? Then you don't want to be betting a hand like ace jack, ace 10, because, you know, then you're getting folds. Whereas if you bet the turn, you might get a little, you know, you might get one street of value.
Yeah. No, you're right. Okay, so I should have checked. I didn't check. I bet as a bluff for okay. $35.
How much?
$35.
Okay, third, like a third pot.
And the straddle calls, and the small blind folds.
Yeah, and see, this is the issue, isn't it? Because now all of a sudden, we're like, we got like 75 behind, the pot's like 170, and we're against the guy with like a much... I agree with your assessment of the small blind, that he probably did either have basically suited broadways or pocket pairs, or like a, you know, medium pocket pair.
Yeah. Yeah. He later would say he folded queens, so. Which I think is...
All right.
Well, I mean, that's probably fine, honestly. Like, it goes bet call, you'd probably fold.
Yeah, I guess.
So, the turn now comes... The deuce of diamonds.
Okay, well, it seems like we got our work cut out for us.
Yeah, so we make a boat.
Okay.
Yeah, which is my plan the entire time.
Right.
There
are really no better feelings than bluffing with like under pairs and just drilling a set.
Yeah, yeah. So, what do you want to do here?
I want to put my $75 in the middle.
Interesting. I thought that because it was not going to be hard to get the money in on any street, and because there were no logical draws, I would rather give him the opportunity to bluff or value bet a worse hand on the turn.
I mean, I see the logic, but like he called your flop bet with a guy behind, and there's no like draws he could have that called your flop bet, and there's only, and you're betting like under half pot here, so why not just get it in now? If by some miracle he has like king queen of diamonds that he floated with, he's certainly never folding now. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just think I just think we, I mean, yeah, we can just go for it on the river, but also, like, what if a diamond comes and we bet the river and he folds, like, an ace? Because now he's scared of the flush. Like, that would just be a disaster. Whereas I just don't know what he's calling the flop with and folding the turn with.
That's fair. Yeah, I probably could, yeah.
But to be fair, I don't know what he's folding the river with either, so.
Right, I mean, it had to be, like, if a diamond comes in the river, that would
Like, it is hard to imagine you not getting paid either way here, so I don't really think it's a big mistake. And maybe, yeah, like, maybe he does just start bluffing with some complete airball. But it's just hard to imagine what complete airballs he called your flop that with.
Yeah, I was mostly, it wasn't much as much of a, I was more thinking he might just value bet a worse hand. But, like, if he's going to value bet a worse hand, he would just call anyway, so.
And this is live poker. He's right, gonna, so he's way more likely to call than he is to bet, as we know.
Yeah, it's true. So, I mean, well, this player had some bluff in him, for sure.
Okay, so we check, and did he wind up betting?
He does check back.
Okay.
Unfortunate, but I mean, I was pretty sure I was getting the money regardless, so I was like, you know.
Yeah, look, no three of diamonds on the river, and I think we'll be all right.
Yeah, so the river is the Jack of Hearts.
Perfect.
And we put the stack in, which I assume you approve of.
Yeah, definitely.
And he calls very quickly.
Okay.
And I show him a hand, and he says that river got you paid, and tosses Ace Jack into the muck.
Okay. I mean, I don't see how it's possible that river got us paid.
Yeah, he probably was calling turn anyway, but he insists that he very strongly felt we had Ace Queen, so he is very excited.
Well, you should have assured him that you do not have Ace Queen.
I always let people think whatever they want to think about my hands.
Yeah.
So anyway, I don't know. Probably you're right. Just put it on the turn, so don't get fancy with it. But
I think it's probably fine either way. Like, I do think you were getting the money in almost always. It's just interesting, you know, because there are some scare cards on the river. Like, if there's like a three, and really it's just like a, maybe even a three or a four, even though it makes no sense for you to have like a one liner. You know, a card that would complete the one-liner. You know how live players are. It could confuzzle their brains and they wind up folding an ace.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely would not want... Like, you're right, there's some scare cards, so... There's not... Like, he's just probably never folding a turn.
At that point. Just at the stack depth, especially.
Mm-hmm. I thought... Yeah, I didn't realize how shallow he was until the river. I was like, oh, wait a minute, he only got $70. So, but yeah. Probably could have played this hand better in many ways, but it didn't matter because we made a boat. So.
All right. Well, that's an interesting hand, and I agree. I think you're getting paid either way, so, you know, why not?
Yeah, can't mess that one up. So.
Well, moving on to the next one here. It's again a 2-5 game, and this one is 2-5 with the straddle on, so we're playing 2-5-10. Straddle is on. Encore, as we all know, has like the worst rules of any poker room in existence. They only allow straddles under the gun, for example, and they don't allow bomb pots, they don't allow running it twice, all this stuff.
I don't really like the straddle from any position thing. I will stand with Encore on that one. It kind of annoys me when games allow that.
Well, I don't mind. If someone wants to blind bet $10 regardless of their position, I am very happy to let them.
I mean, that's fair. It just confuses me.
Yeah. Okay, so straddles on to $10. We wind up being 500-ish effective with the main villain in this hand. We've got like 1K behind, and there's, I think we're like 1K effective with some of the other folks in this hand. I don't have everyone's stack written down.
But we're 500 effective.
Yes, we wind up being 500 effective. We are in the middle, we're in middle position, so with, there's a straddle on, then there's UTG plus one, and then there's us. We open to $30 with Jack 10 of clubs.
Okay.
And we get called by
oh boy,
the low jack, the button, the big blind, and the straddle.
Huh. Well, okay, so only 150 in the pot.
Yeah, so we're exactly in the middle here. Okay. There's gonna be around 150 in the pot at that point. So we're already getting, you know, relatively shallow, and the flop comes favorable for our range, which is a great way of saying we miss. It's king king six rainbow with one club.
All right.
So it's King of Clubs, King of Diamonds, Six of Spades.
Okay.
And it checks dots.
This could be... I mean, in general, paired boards are favorable. Like, high paired boards are favorable for the preflop aggressor. It's rainbow, right? So we are super multi-way. If we had a value hand, there's nothing really to protect from. We're pretty shallow. You could probably just check this with like everything and be happy with it.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. I think that's fine. Like, we are pretty shallow. We're super multi-way. We're out of position to two players. You could probably just play this as like a check call always. Because, I don't think we even have a lot of bluffs that we really want to check raise. And as you said, we are super shallow and we shouldn't have trouble getting it in most of the time.
Yeah, and I also think with your specific holding, if you check and then it goes bet call, you can pretty comfortably fold.
Oh, with my specific holding, if it goes bet, I can probably fold.
Yeah, fair enough. Okay.
But anyway, I decide to bet this hand.
Ah, all right.
Because I kind of think, I mean, I probably could play it as a check 100. I think I could also probably bet some, you know, ace, king, king, queen, king, jack, even. Probably the bottom of the value range. And I will have all the ace kings, all the ace queens, and probably just the suited king jacks from my position.
Yeah, I think you can, if you can bet this, and if you're going to bet it with value, then Jack 10 of Clubs seems like a great bluff candidate.
Yeah, I probably would. I mean, if we're going to nitpick, which, you know, maybe we should, Queen Jack might be a slightly better bluff candidate, but...
You can have both.
Yeah, exactly. With a backdoor, that's only six combos. We do need some amount of bluffs for all our value. So I decide to bet 50, which is a third pot.
That's fine. I don't have a problem. If you're gonna bet this board, your hand seems good for it. So you bet a third pot and
only the button calls. I would say the button is weak tight for sure. Kind of like, you know, he had $500 in front of him. He'd definitely been kind of put all in a number of times and just kind of like, you know, sigh folded and added on a bit, like, you know, the type. Definitely in like stack protection mode, it almost seemed.
Okay, and he's now got only like 420 left.
Yep, and there's about 250 in the pot.
So, pot and a half left.
Pot and a half. And we're off to a turn, which comes a nice card. It's the Queen of Hearts.
Nice. So we pick up the open ender.
We pick up the open ender. We do not pick up the flush draw. The board is now full rainbow. I decide that I should probably bet here. If I'm going to bet the flop and pick up equity, I should probably continue.
Yeah, I mean, you could also play it as like... if you think he might... I mean, you could try to play it as a check jam. You could... Although it's... You're a little... Maybe a little too shallow for that, depending on the... Well, no, you probably aren't. You're probably about the right size. You could play it as a check jam, depending on his bets. Unless he goes huge, in which case you could fold pretty quickly.
Oh, we could definitely... Right, we definitely could fold, but I kind of decide that I could just kind of structure this as like a triple barrel, like blocking a lot of the strongest hands he can have, having a lot of equity here. And then, you know, if the river completely bricks off, we'll obviously be very far down in our range with Jack High.
Yeah, I do think the trouble is, like, if he calls turn, like, what does he have that will then fold river? Like, right. What do you, like...
Like, maybe he's got, like, a pocket pair that's just not believing.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Although, same thing, same issue with, like, check jamming, of course. Like, what is he betting that he'll then fold?
Yeah, I think if I checked and he bet, I would just, like... He always has a king at minimum.
Yeah, you're probably right. So, probably check jamming doesn't really make much sense. So, if you don't ever need to check... do you ever need to check jam this board with value?
I don't think so. I don't know. My sense at the time, and I guess still, is that I could just kind of play this hand fairly straightforward and just go like bet, bet, bet. And I think I would do that with like my King X as well, just because, I mean, it is just a live game, right? I just need to go bet, bet. Let's just go bet, bet, bet. Yeah. This guy's passive. I know this guy's not stabbing. I just want to try and extract value from, you know, this guy could absolutely have a hand like pocket tens here that he doesn't want to fold yet.
No, you're definitely right, and I think that, like, from a standpoint of the player type, I think playing this as a bet, bet, bet is sort of mandatory. with value.
And in theory, I don't know. Maybe check jamming does make sense.
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Is like, is there a, from an optimal standpoint, is there a different way to play this that you would then deviate from? And I don't know. I mean, the trouble I think is, I think you have to have some, from an optimal standpoint, I think you have to have some check jams because you will also have some check give ups.
Right.
When you don't have equity. So I think you have to have some check jams, and this is probably a fine candidate because you do block some of the stronger kings. So,
yeah.
From an optimal standpoint, but you're going to, I think making a deviation here where like applying max pressure with your bluffs and betting at three streets with your value makes sense against this very passive player type. So.
Yeah. Like it's one of these deviations where it's like, you know, betting weirdly like keeps his range the widest almost, you know, like if he ever bets, like we know we're just dead.
Right.
Well,
so you're saying you're betting to see where you're at?
No, I mean, we're not. It's keeping his range wide and like.
Yeah, I mean, on the other hand, though, if you check and he checks back, will he then fold to a river bet? It's interesting.
I don't know.
Okay, whatever. So you bet. How much do you bet?
I bet 150 here. And that's the kind of setup for, I think it's somewhat it's geometric. Big. It's not perfect, it's but, you know, I bet 150, which is, you know, 60% pot, and it leaves, like, half pot behind.
Yeah, you probably wanted to go, like a hitch under half pot, I'm guessing, is the right math.
Well, so 150 and out of 250 is some amount. 60%, I think it actually is 60%.
Right, but if you
so it goes 60% to 50%. Because it leaves exactly half pot behind.
Okay. I will say. Yeah, I mean it's for live poker that's plenty close.
Yeah. So I probably could have bet like 135 or something, and that would have been exactly. But like you know, yeah. I'm just proud of myself for even figuring out how to do it approximately. You know.
Yeah. Exactly. So okay. So you bet 150, and what does he do?
And he calls.
Because
now there is 550 in the pot, and he's got 270 behind, which I have in my notes as 275. So it's, you know, we must have lost some rounding somewhere.
Is it possible that your hand is should be a give up on the river because you block the call? You block the call folds in pocket tens and. His own, like, maybe ace 10 or ace jack that he might take this way?
Maybe. I guess my one, I mean, maybe, right? But, like, the other side is, like, we are just, like, at the bottom of our range, which is, like, I mean, and I feel like that's, I mean, I don't know if that's more important or not. Like, you know, we are, like, our jack high will never be good at showdown.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to have some give-ups where you just lose. Like, that is true.
But, like, we have a lot of ace-x give-ups, possibly. Like, maybe we play, like, ace-jack or ace... Maybe we play ace-jack or ace-10 this way ourselves, and we can, you know, give up rivers.
Is that a better give-up? Because it's still has very little showdown value, but, like...
But at least if he's messing around with, like, jack-10 with the backdoor flush draw that picked up equity, then at least we're good sometimes.
Okay.
Not a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. I genuinely don't know if, like, the ace-x hands, do they, like, unblock his call folds, or do they... I don't know.
The other interesting part is it's actually... Like, I feel like we don't have a super... I mean, we obviously don't have a super wide betting range in general, because it was so multi-way on the flop. So it's like, what other bluffs do we have? Like, we're not... You know what I mean? Like, we're bluffing with queen jack, which we probably check the turn.
Yep.
And jack 10, and like, I mean, what else are we bluffing?
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Do you have other bluff candidates that we should be barreling? Because it's like, we bet into four people on the flop.
Right. This is the problem with betting such a narrow range on the flop, is it sort of screws you by the time you get to the river with, like, how you structure. But... Which is why maybe it would have been better to take the flop as a 100% check. But okay,
right. I mean, that's a good point, as we learn now that as we arrive at the river, it's like Jack 10 is close to the only bluff we have on the turn. And so can we really give, you know, maybe we flip a coin. Do we just flip a coin and give up some and don't give up others? Or do we just say, screw it, we're going for it all because you don't want to commit your stack?
Right. Yep. All fair stuff. So, okay.
And the river is going to come a super interesting card. It's the Queen of Spades.
Ooh.
So the board is now King, King, Six, Queen, Queen. It was rainbow on the turn, and there's no flush on the river, shockingly.
And... Huh.
So it's just a weird card, because I don't think either of us really have a lot of Queen X.
No, as played. I mean, he could have... I mean, yeah. Yeah, probably not as played. I mean, you can both have some number of boats with a king.
Definitely.
And the who has more ace high is sort of an interesting question.
Yeah.
What's actually funny, though, is if he had, like, nines or eights, you're now winning.
Right.
So you will never get him to fold a king or a queen. And you are only losing to ace highs that he somehow gets here with, which there aren't many.
Right.
So I might just check and see if we can win.
Interesting. Yeah, I think that's okay. Because, like, yeah, if he has, like, if his range is a lot of King X, then, like, bluffing won't do anything. Right. We do beat those pocket pairs. But I was kind of thinking I want to get... And we also block the ace highs, so maybe we do
block
just...
the logical ace highs.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Anyway, I GM.
Okay.
But yes, I do see your point here, and I guess I just brain farted because I think I was thinking about folding out ace highs or even any queen he got here with he might fold.
Oof, like that's ambitious.
It is ambitious. It's possible, but ambitious. But and I don't even remember this hand was played almost a month ago, so I don't remember if I was thinking, you know. Oh, I'm going to get him to fold out his nines or eights. I don't remember if I was thinking that, because obviously we don't need to do that. I will not claim, what I was thinking, because I don't remember.
I mean, how baller is it? Would it be if it went check, check, and you went with jack high, though?
It would be baller.
Yeah. Okay.
However, I would say that this finish was quite satisfying, as he just tanks and tanks and tanks, and eventually, after a long delay, folds. And told me that the river bailed me out, as he claimed later to have pocket sixes.
I'm sorry. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So he had a boat.
He had a boat. He flopped the boat. He claimed to have flopped the boat and then fold. And I mean, that might be a fold on the river.
I don't think so.
I would rather... I don't know. You might almost rather call with ace high. Because it like blocks the hands that I can have as boats.
Interesting. But I mean...
Yeah, he's getting a great price. But it's like, what am I... It's like... It's just such a sick line.
Yeah.
Not to give myself too much credit.
You actually got someone to fold a boat with your bluff. That's crazy. I mean, good kudos to you.
What bluffs am I? What bluffs? If you're a classic live player and you see a guy bet, 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 king, king, six, queen, queen, like, you know, an OMC never, like, some players will literally never have worse than a king.
Yep.
I don't know. I think that I probably should have checked. I honestly do agree that I think I should have checked river.
Well, you shouldn't listen to me. I mean, you won.
No, but I don't think it was... I think that this is literally the one hand that he calls down with and then folds. Yeah. That is better than mine.
Yeah.
Except maybe sometimes a queen, which I do think this player would fold occasionally. But, like, with that said, that's not a lot of hands compared to all the King X.
Yeah. I don't know. Man, that's crazy. That's crazy. For a second, I was like, I forgot that there had been a six in the flop. So I was like, oh, so you folded out a worse hand. But no, he literally...
He just flopped it. And this is why you should never slow play people. Yeah. I mean, not never. He probably had a great candidate to slow play, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean...
Because, like, he was going to snap call any other river and win.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, he played it fine. That river fold...
You don't think you're folding that river? If you if you were against like a classic live player and you had no reads on a guy, or you had like some reads as him being kind of just an ABC live player, and he took this line, you wouldn't fold river. I would probably fold river a lot against like
a lineup. I'm getting 3-1, right? I'm getting 3-1. Mm-hmm. So, I mean,
but like, how are you ever good against like a?
First of all, he can be overplaying aces. That's
what I don't think so. Well, I think they're checking aces at the end.
Maybe depends how bad they are. It depends.
I think against a live, I think I would fold pocket sixes against a player who against a like. Not against many of the players I've been playing against at 2-5, but absolutely against the live population, I might fold pocket sixes.
And I mean, that's fair. The other thing is, like, we have a decent amount of queen X in his spot that we get there with. I actually, like, he might not have a lot of queen X because he's, like, rather tight, but we're probably supposed to do a decent amount of floating with, like, well, actually, no, because we called in the middle.
Right, I think the button does not have a lot of queen X, unless he's right. Got queen jack or something.
Well, then what are we calling with? Literally just king, like, as an exploit, I guess? Maybe.
I think, maybe a queen. Maybe a queen.
But if we don't have queens, though, I don't know. Because, like, that's crazy, though.
Maybe just a king. But it's weird, right? Because none of your pocket pairs are anything. So it's like, would I rather call with like a random ace high? But I mean, you know, it's weird. It's a weird.
That's answer. The thing. It's like, would I maybe?
And I'm not trying to. I honestly don't. I do think I should have checked the river. I don't think that. I mean, you've convinced me that that just makes a lot more sense because we just beat a lot of the hands that were calling us down at this point. I was just very like, I just felt so gross in the moment.
Yeah.
When he was like, "Oh, that river bailed you out. I can't believe it," and I was like.
You were like, I can't believe it.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. Well, nice hand.
Well, there's my savage moment of the weekend.
That's good. Yeah. So, I guess
I won the hand, so I played it perfectly. That's how it works.
I guess that's it, right?
That's how it works, right?
All right. Well, I have a hand.
All right.
In this hand, I will just remove purpose. I really butchered this hand. Like this hand. I don't even know what the hell I was doing.
Well, that's every time you say this, I feel like we wind up learning that I would have done the exact same thing. So,
well, I don't know, man. So,
we're back in 2-2. Is there a straddle on for this hand?
No straddle. We're playing against a tight player who is okay for a 2-2 player. Seems okay. He has talked about, though, how hit ace-king, like, he never wants to get in with ace-king.
Yeah, right. So. Who died? It's a drawing hand.
Exactly. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm giving him too much credit. He opens to 5.
And what are the effective stacks?
We're 350 effective.
Okay, so you could have just started with that.
Yeah, so he opens to 5.
Have you been playing, is this back at Best Bet Jacksonville, where you got a slightly deeper buy-in?
Yes, this is Best Bet Jacksonville, yeah.
Villain opens to 5. From what position?
From under the gun.
Oh, man. Aces.
I know. I don't know about that. Really bad. Never do that. And then it's what they call a juicer raise, right? And the low jack calls, who is extremely bad.
Okay.
I make it $20. In the cutoff.
Okay.
With 5-7 of diamonds.
All right.
Which I think I would not do probably in the hijack, but I think in the cutoff it's probably fine, especially because both these players are showing a lot of weakness.
Yeah, I think it's okay. I mean, I don't love 3-betting with gaffers in general.
I don't even think it's a real 3-bet, though. That's the sort of thing. It's
right.
Like,
it's almost like there was a straddle and there was a limp and you open. But I don't know. Would you open 7-5 of diamonds from the cutoff?
The cutoff, definitely.
Yeah. Over 2 limpers?
It's questionable. I actually think it is more... If it was... I think probably no over 2 limpers. But I don't know. I think it's close. It depends on the... It's player dependent versus this. I was pretty happy to do it versus these couple of villains.
Okay. I mean, I think that's fine. If you kind of have the reads that they're weak and you're just like, I'm just going to apply a lot of press or post flop as needed, then I think that makes sense.
Yeah. So, I think if it was, like, against some unknowns, like, maybe not. But I just felt with these two villains that it would be a good spot. It folds back to the Under the Gun who calls and the Limper, the guy who called the five folds.
The Flatter. Let's call him. Flatter.
Thank you.
Okay, so we're heads up. We did get heads up against one of these weak players. Villain, you said, is kind of weak type.
Yeah, I wouldn't say he's, like, especially bad. Like, he's just fairly fairly, like, weak, I guess.
He's
like,
just he's averagely bad.
Yeah. Well, he's not, like, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Sure, so I'm okay. I'm okay. I'm on board. We're three betting a lot from this in this specific configuration. Probably going quite linear just to... Because we feel like we can play well post flop and win the pot more than
and we have some depth. We have some depth. So there's about 45-ish in the pot.
Yeah.
And the flop is 10 of hearts, 9 of spades, 7 of spades.
Okay, so we've got bottom pair on a board that is quite bad for our range.
Yeah. And so this is sort of the first inflection point, like, we are going to be betting some hands here, obviously.
And villain checks.
Villain checks. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. We are going to bet some hands here. This board isn't, like, atrocious. It could be worse.
Well, it's pretty like, bad.
It's, well, if the 10 were an 8, it would be about as bad as it can be. But yep. There are not that many logical straights.
Yeah.
Which I think is important, whereas on 7, 8, 9, there are a ton. And... definitely villain can have sets in two pairs, but doesn't have pocket tens. Probably have sevens and nines.
He can probably have, but why can't he have pocket tens?
Maybe this player can. I don't know. So
I think most live players wouldn't four bet pocket tens there.
Not four bet, but like would they open it to only five? That's because I've seen him do normal opens too. So that's sort of my question. Okay, like, sure. Does that fall into his open to 10 or does it fall into his open to 5? So right. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah,
and so, I will say I try not to read too much into those because sometimes people just open.
I don't know. I've almost never seen someone open to like just 5 in a 2-2 game or just 10 in a 2-5 game and have it be a good hand.
Okay.
Like, personally, but so he checks, and the question is, do we want to bet this particular hand?
Right.
What do you think?
I think no. I just think we don't want to be betting a lot here. And I think we have, like, plenty of, like, spades and, like, gutters and stuff that we can use as bluffs.
Yeah, I mean, I think having bottom pair is nice because we do block some sets in two pair, I guess, was one thing.
That's true.
That's
true, but I think our, like, our outs might be dirty, like, a lot dirtier than if we have, like, you know, other like, bluff candidates. Like, I don't know. I would kind of think about how many hands we want to be betting here. You know, what kind of overpairs we be betting here. Like, I think we don't need to bet like aces here. Like, we certainly want to bet some overpairs, but like we don't need to bet all of them on a board like this.
Well, keep in mind that my game plan against this villain is to apply a lot of pressure with my misses. Right. So I do want to be betting a higher volume of hands than I would in a balanced sense.
I would agree. I would definitely agree with that. But by the same token, I think that you have to keep board texture in mind, where, like, if you kind of perceive villain as having a weak-ish hand, like, this board does do pretty well for those, like, weak-ish hands, like, for an sure. open to five range. You know, obviously, it's no... I mean, I don't... Like, what kind of board would you think would be really good for his range? Like, it's so hard to know exactly what he's opening, but I do see your point that, like, maybe he's just got a lot of, like... But also, if he's got a lot of, like, deuces through fives or something, and that's, like, his open to five range, then we're ahead of that range.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
So I don't know. Yeah, I'm probably happy to check this back and evaluate, but I could see betting it because, you know, yes, it's very unlikely now that he has pocket sevens, and maybe he'd raise tens and nines to a larger sizing, so maybe we just want to apply max pressure as we planned.
Yeah. Ultimately... my conclusion in hindsight of this hand was like I did bet, but my conclusion was I shouldn't have, and it seems like you think the same thing. So I shouldn't have bet, but I did bet because I was just like, my plan was just like, I'm going to barrel this guy off of whatever.
Right, which I think is fine. If he's like super tight and will just like fold like bottom two by the river, then like, you know, have at it.
Right. So, I mean, I wasn't necessarily planning to, like, I thought he might just, like, fold flop, I guess, for with if he just, like, he's just not going to be floating me very wide. So I thought, like, hey, you know, I could probably just get...
Yeah, I mean, but, so then we're kind of doing a combo bet, you're saying. Like, we're almost betting for protection with our bottom pair. Like, if we think he's just going to fold all his floats, then, like, that means we're trying to get folds from, like, king-queen.
Sure. Right? You're right. I mean, yeah.
Which is fine. I mean, if that's the case, and we're just like, you know, sure. I mean, and that logic, I think, is not unsound that, you know, him folding king-queen is a fine outcome for us.
Yeah, definitely. And I don't know. I'll be, like I said, I really don't think I, like, thought this hand through very well until the turn, which was when I started. I was like, wait a minute.
But okay. So how much do we bet here? Do we take a larger sizing?
No, I bet 20, which again is probably a mistake. I should have taken a larger
sizing. And obviously in 3-bet pots, we're allowed to go smaller, but as we've pointed out, this is not exactly a 3-bet pot. So I probably want to polarize here.
Yep, I agree. I should have absolutely bet larger. Like I said, I really butchered this hand, like I said at the top.
But it's also weird because I feel like I've seen some kind of theory that says on super wet boards, you don't want to bet that big because it's so dynamic and the nuts can change so drastically. So
that's interesting. I've not really, like, applied that theory ever.
No, nor have I.
But, like, that's probably true. Like, that makes sense.
Right, but at the same time, like, maybe you do just pick... And that kind of means that when we pick bluffs, we want to pick our best bluffs that kind of benefit from that change. You know what? You know, like, if we have, like... Jack X of spades, then, like, any change in the board texture that puts a one-liner is going to be quite favorable for us.
That's fair.
For example. So, maybe it's a kind of a two-sizing thing. Maybe we're just fish, you know.
Yeah, we're just fish, so. But I'm definitely just a fish with the way, like I said, I just bet 20 and he calls. So I was
he
like,
calls. All right.
So, at this point, I kind of realized, I was like, why am I doing this? That's kind of what happened in game. I was like, this was probably the wrong approach. And then the turn comes the three of hearts. So it puts a double flush draw out there.
Yep.
So villain checks.
Okay.
What do you think at this point?
Well, do we have a good give up candidate or do we want to keep barreling? I guess that's the question, you know? We obviously want to be quite polar on a double flush draw turn. You know, when we bet, we want to use a large sizing. We don't, and so we want to kind of pick hands that are appropriate for polarizing. I don't know that our hand fits. I mean, I guess we unblock flush draws, so if we bet big, we're going to put all his flush draws into a pretty difficult spot. But yeah, at the same time, we're probably ahead of his flush draws.
Yeah, that's true. We are, to your point, if we're saying, well, we unblock the flush draws here, we unblock both, then that means that we have to be planning to take this hand as a full triple barrel. We can't give up river with it because it's, you know, if the flush draw bricks on the river.
Then why don't we just check back? Because we beat all his missed flush draws because we unblocked them. Oh, I see what you're
saying. Yeah.
So maybe we can double barrel this hand and then check back rivers.
Check back brick rivers. Interesting.
Just take our minuscule showdown value.
In which case, though, we don't necessarily want to use a super large sizing because he might fold his flush draws.
But that's fine, too. Like, I just think that on this turn...
Those plans contradict each other. Because if we use a large sizing, he might fold a bunch of flush draws. But then we don't... In checking back river, we no longer beat those flush draws because he doesn't have
them. But they're independent streets, right? We want to... Our turn strategy on a dynamic board like this should be to use a large sizing.
Right. So I'm saying maybe our hand is not a great candidate, I guess.
Right. But then once we arrive at the river, like, villain will call with some flush draws.
Right. And so what I'm saying is I would rather have a hand that, if we're going to do it, to use a hand that unblocks both flush draws, I don't think I want to have a pair.
Right. But we do need... Right? Like, then what hands are we kind of playing as a bet large, turn as a bluff, give up river.
Straight draws, mostly.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess maybe flush draws ourselves because we unblock the folding range would be the best candidates.
If we have flush draws ourselves, then we would probably give up river.
Right. So maybe we do just want to play this hand as a check back here.
I think I butchered the flop, but I don't think I should let that mistake carry into further streets. I think I probably want to check this hand.
Yeah, and again, I think it is important to kind of take each street independently, you know, where you can say, you know, okay, I did barrel the flop, given that, you know, not going to berate myself for barreling flop, even though I should, which you shouldn't necessarily, but you know, what do we do on turn? That maybe this hand functions best as a bet flop. Now that we have bet flop, maybe this hand functions best as a give up, you know, and then evaluate river.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I want to try to make the case, like, what is the case, the best case for barreling turn with our specific holding is we are blocking sets. We are unblocking lots of draws. So that's all good stuff. I guess the problem is we unblock top pair. Like, the question is, the problem is, like, I just don't know what this hand wants to do on the river when if we do bet.
Well, maybe it depends. You know, maybe we can bet. Yeah, it's awkward.
Yeah, I think I really needed, if I had checked flop, this turn decision, and then he checked to me again on the turn, then this is like a very straightforward check back because we just might be good.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I think.
I think so. Because like we beat, I just think like his range has so many random overcard, like two random Broadway cards.
If we had checked back flop.
Right.
Well, and then in that case, we might bet turn for protection.
Maybe. Or maybe we could.
Against those types of hands. I don't know. It's kind of interesting. But anyway, I do check back here, which I think is right. As played. I think I'm supposed to just give up here.
All right.
The river is not that interesting. It's the seven of clubs, so we make trips.
Ah, nice. And now you wish you're kicking yourself for not firing that second barrel.
Yeah. Well, I don't even know. I don't know. I mean, obviously, he checks again, and obviously, we're gonna bet here. What sort of sizing would you take?
I think we have. I mean, he's checked three times, so like he can't. His range is just pretty bad. Like it's probably bottom heavy. Mm-hmm. But with that said, like, our range just is quite polar, I think.
I think we're betting, yeah, we should. Well,
like we have many missed draws, I guess, is the thought here.
Mm-hmm.
That want to barrel after checking turn, so maybe we just need to take a large sizing because of that.
Yeah, would we want to have two sizings on this river? His range. He really shouldn't ever have, like, a straight, for example.
Right. Absolutely. Play. His best, I mean, I think he's really bottom heavy. Like, his best hands are probably, like, 10, like, jack 10.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say, like, yeah. So, I mean, we can have, like, jack 8 for a straight as, well, probably not, actually.
Probably didn't 3-bet jack 8, although maybe.
Probably not. Probably would muck that one, I'm going to be honest, so. What I mean, yeah, what's the strongest hand we can have here? Honest, actually, like...
I think we can have overpairs.
Okay, well, so...
Sometimes, although I don't... I mean, I would rather play overpairs as check, flop, barrel, you know, bet, turn.
Yeah. There aren't a lot of logical hands we can have this way because it's played so badly. But,
so maybe we just may take a big sizing and make him, you know, just take a weird line and get paid off.
It seems like he would likely play a 10 or a 9 this way, and we can probably get a large call from a 10 or a 9. So
yeah.
that was sort of what I thought in game, so I went ahead and bet reasonably large. I bet 70.
I like taking a large sizing here. I just think that makes a lot of sense when everything misses.
Yeah, so I bet 70, and he pretty quickly calls. We show him the bad news, and he mucks.
It would be sick if he showed us, like, 8-7.
Oh my god.
Which actually chops, so never mind.
Yeah, well... Oh, true.
Hero, okay, so we got paid off.
Yeah, we got paid.
Well played. Like,
you can see both these hands, like the theme of these hands was like, I played it badly and then got bailed out by the board, which I think goes to show like why I was able to win money in these sessions, you know, if you think about it.
Well, look, I mean, the same with my last hand. It was like, I don't think I played the river well, but it just turned out that he had the one hand on the one run out that would actually... when, you know, get me to win.
Yeah. Well, what are you going to do when you're Josh and I, and you're really bad, you're gonna hope that the poker gods favor you. So that's our strategy.
Yeah, really. So let's just, I mean, maybe quickly, like, think about this hand. Like, what if you had, like, you know, I maybe just, like, think about some hand classes with this hand and think about what that, what those hands want to do, right? Think about heart, what you would do with, like, ace-x of hearts, ace-x of spades, like, jacks, queens, kings, aces. And then kind of figure out where 5-7 of diamonds fits in that hierarchy.
Yeah, I mean, what hands... I mean, yeah, so sure. So, like, if we flop a nut flush draw, I would probably check that back most of the time.
Interesting.
On the flop.
Are we shallow? And I mean, are we deep enough for that? I want to make sure we can play for stacks if we flop a nut flush draw.
Well, so, on the flop, it's 45 and... Yeah, I guess that's true. We have, like, almost, like, we have, like, seven or 8x pot behind on the flop. So do we really want to be checking back nut flush draws? I mean, the thing is...
We could probably check back some, right? I think we could check back high nut flush draws, like ace-queen, ace-king of spades.
Yeah, sure.
And maybe then bet hands like ace-4, ace-5 of spades.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it's interesting because... The reason my initial thought was why I would want to check them is because it's a bad board for us, but, like, if the turn, we can just take a free card and look to improve. That was sort of my thought of, like, why I would check back a nut flush draw. Right. But, but I see what you're saying too is, like, well, if we make the nut flush, we want to be able to play for stacks. So that's fair. If I flopped, like, the king high flush draw, for example, you know, what do you think?
Well, then you have a gutter to go along with it, most likely.
Sure.
Actually, definitely.
Yeah. So better to bext combo draw.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean, what hands are we checking on flop that, like, I guess you said you'd probably check aces on this flop because we probably don't want to play for stacks with aces.
And we don't need protection with aces, right?
Yeah. Maybe kings.
Yeah, but I'd probably want to bet, like, queens and jacks. Because they've got back doors. They also need more protection. I mean, jacks just has a gutter and also just, like, needs a lot of protection.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's kind of interesting, but it's just kind of a thought process. And maybe, right? Maybe the not flush draw, especially a hand like ace-king or ace-queen of spades, is a hand that we might check, bet flop. I mean, maybe we bet flop sometimes and check back the turn sometimes. I don't know.
Because of the showdown value.
Yeah, so maybe that is what we want to be doing with 7-5 of diamonds, because it's a similar concept where we're betting to sort of deny equity, and then we check back turn for showdown value.
You check your showdown value or looking to improve in the case of making trips.
Or just thinking trips, yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
I don't know. That's just kind of how I was starting to think about it, is what do we actually want to do with our different hand classes, and where does this one fit? So yeah, I do think bottom pairs are fine bluff candidates on occasion.
Yeah. I think that's true. I mean, I don't know. I think that I definitely wasn't thinking straight during the hand, and I'm trying. But you're right. In hindsight, it's good to figure out, like, how is this hand supposed to be played. I am interested in the river sizing. So if we are saying that, well, we would bet flop and then check turn with some, like, big nut flush draws, you know, obviously the river bricks out. Or the river bricks out those draws. What kind of value do we show up with on the river besides overpairs, do you think?
Right. Like, I mean, maybe 10x also. Like ace 10. I think ace 10 suited, for example, we might play that way.
But it sounds like we really shouldn't ever have thick value on the river as played.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think that, yeah, because I think that we should be taking most of our thick value for a large sizing on the turn.
Yeah.
Right, on a double flush draw board. I think that just is how it is. And that just means if you're playing against a competent villain, a thinking villain, right, and they bet the river, you're just going to have to call down wider.
Right. But let's say we're playing against a good villain and we get to the river with something like an ace 10 or a pocket jacks.
Yeah.
Do you think that it's what kind of sizing should we take versus that villain? Would we want to take a half pot sizing because we're basically like, well, we can't have anything that strong, or is villain going to exploit that with check raises, and we should just
Demolarize? I don't know. Maybe we just like deep because like it is interesting, right? Because we have so many missed draws. It's like, what do we do with the missed draws? You know, what are good like candidates to bluff here? Like, I don't know. I feel like hands like king queen that are not flushed are good hands to like barrel off.
Because we unblock the call folds, yeah.
Yeah, and also we just have very little showdown value.
Sure. Yeah, that's fair. I don't know.
Then it is like, yeah, but to your point, it is interesting. Like, what do we do with pocket jacks? I mean, are we checking pocket jacks on the turn? I don't even know if we're checking over. It's weird. Like, what value do we want to check on the turn?
I think versus a reasonable player, checking pocket jacks on the turn makes sense because we might very well get check raised a lot and we're going to hate life.
Okay. Yeah. So I don't know. I think I probably still take a bigger sizing on the river.
It's probably fine to take a bigger sizing because, you know, our range is fairly limited in strength, but so is villains as played.
Oh yeah. Villain went check. But villain went check, check, check. It's like, you know, unless the, I mean, maybe it's right for like a good villain, you know, maybe we're metagaming too hard now, but maybe it's right theoretically for villain to like just check a lot on the river because you're going to be betting so much. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, although I might check back a number of sort of showdown value-y types of hands.
Definitely.
I mean, well, like maybe like a weaker 10.
Yeah.
I would probably just check back, but I think a larger sizing makes sense. I do. I think a larger sizing makes sense with our value, like not a huge sizing. I think we probably only have like one size on this river other than like, God, I don't know. I mean, if we end show up here with like some boats somehow, like pocket tens.
I think we just take one sizing. I think when in doubt, simplify. You know, so, I just think simplifying makes a lot of sense. I've tried to simplify a lot in my strategy because I know that I'm just going to forget and overthink and misapply if I try and get too deep with like two things like, you know, two sizings and exact sizings and blah, blah, blah. So I think it, you know, make sure that you're not outperforming your brain.
Yeah, for sure. My brain is very weak. So yeah, ultimately one size, this size that I took probably makes sense.
And got called and you won the hand. So really,
in conclusion, I played it perfectly.
Very good. And in conclusion, in better conclusion, if you're listening to this, please like, subscribe, comment, tell us what donkeys we are. And, you know, how you would have played some of these hands.
Yeah, let us know. We're happy to be back, excited to be back, and we hope that you're excited too. And thanks so much.
Yeah, have a good one, everyone.